I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at BJGeekNation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. There's this recreational pilot in Austin, Texas. His name is Mason Pitts. Great name. He took his girlfriend, Allie Bond, on a small plane outing, taking in the sights this past Saturday while in the air. And also while in the air, he told Allie, oh, man, I'm getting engine failure light. And he needed her to pull out the checklist for what to do in that situation. The checklist got more personal, leading to Mason's planned proposal. Okay, I appreciate that you want to, you know, do something romantic, but don't make somebody think that you got problems with the plane to do it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm already nervous enough going into, like, I think it's cool when people get to go to, like, I have a couple buddies that fly planes. I haven't gotten around to it yet, but they keep inviting me to jump in the plane with them, and that'd be pretty fun, but do not F with me.
Yeah.
It's scary enough as it is. I do not need to be messed with.
Yeah, he's basically like, I don't know, read the emergency checklist. We got issues. And so he recorded the whole thing. And here he is asking his girlfriend to read him that emergency checklist.
There's an emergency checklist on that right side.
You need it?
Yeah. Okay. Read step one.
Airspeed 70 KIAS.
Check.
Fuel selector. Check both LTRT.
Check.
Verify pilot is willing to give up his life for co-pilot.
Check.
Verify pilot will provide for richer or poorer.
Check.
Confirm co-pilot's left hand is ready for engagement.
Check.
What?
Next step.
Is co-pilot ready to accept last name of pilot?
Will you marry me, Allie Bond?
Are you serious? Oh my god, yes! Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Oh my god, I love you.
Now land the plane.
You know what? She is a keeper because I think if that were me, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to marry you. You made me think we're going to crash, a douche.
I don't know, man. One of the things that might be a sticking point. His last name, what you said, was Pitts.
Yeah.
Her last name is Bond.
Right?
That's a cooler last name. I'm
right.
But I'm not taking the last name of Pitts.
Yeah, Allie Pitts as opposed to Allie Bond. You're right. Somehow I think I would give her a pass and let her keep her last name.
Pitts and Bond. That's a pretty creative way to do it.
Yeah, it's a creative way to do it, but I would be S-ing my S. I mean, seriously, I would be losing my activity if I'm in a plane and they go, get the emergency thing out.
Right, start reading this stuff.
Yeah, and oh, man, I'd be so mad at him. So she's obviously cooler than I am, and he picked the right person because she did. And first of all, she didn't flinch. She's just like, okay, I'll get the stuff out. She was really cool, calm, cool, and collected.
I love that one part where she just goes, What?
I actually say I really dig her. I think he's an idiot, but
he's
dig
a genius.
Her.
What if she said no? He's like, well, okay, it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah, get out with an ejection
seat.
We're
both going down.
Afterwards, Allie was asked about the proposal and said that it took her a while to realize what was going on.
It wasn't the first time I've ever been his co-pilot and read off checklists to him, so that was kind of a normal occurrence. So the first couple of steps were just a breeze. You know, he was saying, check, check. I was totally blown away.
I mean, look, it's really cool. I mean, it's cool how it all ended, and it was very creative. I give him credit. And she was awesome.
Well, knowing that they went through the checklist before, that makes it a little less. Because if that's the first time you're doing it, that's got to be a moment of panic. But if like they've done that before where she feels comfortable in that situation, all right.
I guess when you tell
it's
me
better engine, than my proposal, what am I gonna? Who am I?
Well, your proposal didn't involve engine failure. I give you. I'm the last guy. I'm the first guy to make fun of you for your proposal, which was just a grunt, and you just pushed a ring towards her.
Right. Maybe even more dangerous than what he went.
Yeah. All right. I got some good news about your favorite musical performer.
My favorite musical performer. So Pearl Jam. They are going to put up online to stream a high quality pro shot. Performance from their show, one of the shows that they did over at T-Mobile Park.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be coming up very soon. I'm going to order it. I wish that you could keep it permanently. Maybe I'll do that eventually, but yeah, you'll be able to stream it for X amount of days, and the footage looks amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super pumped to be able to relive the first night of the Pearl Jam show.
I'm not talking Pearl Jam because I wasn't specific enough. I should have said your favorite musical performer that told you to F off when you were a little kid.
Oh, Billy Joel.
There you go. Yeah, I should have been more specific about that.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you know, but Billy Joel never sells the front row seats at his concerts.
I know, that's why I never go.
Oh, I didn't realize that's
why. If I'm going to go see Billy Joel, I want to be front row so I can look him in the eye.
That's interesting.
Remember me.
And so I'm wondering, like, why don't you? And he's got a really good reason. There's a new tweet going around the internet that says, aside from wanting to beat the scalpers, Billy got tired of all the bored rich people staring up at him. Oh, so he's looking at the front row, and you got a bunch of rich hoi polloi people not even giving a damn?
Well, dude, think about how much money you probably have to pay to sit front row at like a Billy Joel, or like back when he was doing the Billy Joel Elton John concerts. I mean, that's a high ticket price. So you got to imagine anyone who's going. Also, it's an older demo, so you got all these like well-off Fs that probably are just there to be seen.
Well-off F. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you know what? It's not a bad crowd.
I was trying to be nice. Oh, rich jackass.
The rich MFers. Yeah, that's much better. You're right. That's a little bit nicer.
Kidding. But you know what I mean? Like, they're there maybe, like, on their phone, like, hey, Chadwick, check me out. I'm in the front of the...
Chadwick.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of that that's going on. Good old Chadwick.
I got you, Bradley.
Yeah. Check it out. I'm sitting next to Bronson. All of us are having a great time.
So he does a cool thing.
So he basically
all the little children he said F off to over the years, he goes and finds them and puts them in the front. No, he sends his road crew out to bring down the fans from the worst seats so they'll be the people in the front row that are really happy to be there, real fans.
You think the road crew's like, wait, so we don't need to find the hottest girl to bring backstage? You just want us to bring people that
are... Not anymore.
Right?
Maybe back in the day that was their job.
How cool would that be if like you're in the nosebleed, like you're in the 300 level of CenturyLink Field and Billy Joel's playing there? And all of a sudden, these dudes show up and are like, hey, would you like to get upgraded to the front row?
I think it's a brilliant idea because if you are a performer, because all you can really see with the lights, if you've been on a lot of stages, you know, you can only see those first couple rows.
You think the people in the second row are just pissed?
Yeah,
I would. Now all of a sudden, they're stuck sitting behind excited fans.
Who want to be there.
Right. Oh, my God. These people won't stop standing and singing along to this guy's song.
Yeah, all of a sudden, my front row seats, I have to stand up now. And I'm old. I'm a rich MF-er. Don't they know I can't stand? I will pay someone to stand for me. Yeah, that's a cool thing. You know, even his daughter, she tweeted, hey, you know what, my pops is a real mensch. Yeah, he's a real good guy.
That's
for doing
funny.
It. Yeah, that's cool. Still no comment, though, on how she feels about him telling you to go F off as a little kid.
Well, she probably endorsed it.
Yeah, she probably would. Yeah, she probably would say, you know, she's like, that kid deserved it, that little bastard.
I always see that, though, sometimes. Like, they'll do it at WWE events and other things as well, like the upgrade. Seahawks as well, they'll see, like, congratulations to the Williams family. They've just been upgraded to the executive suite. And you're like, man, that would be so cool to happen.
I think it's a great idea. I think a lot of people should do that. I think the front row should be given out to all those folks like that. I think Billy Joel's idea is a perfect idea.
I remember being pumped at a T-Birds game when like they had like the blimp days, and all of a sudden they just dropped like something that I got like a free bag of potato chips. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Could you imagine getting front row to any concert?
I don't know. A free bag of potato chips, I think, is really the win.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think you stop playing the lottery. That's why you never win the lottery. You got your free bag of potato chips.
I remember one time when Tool played, and at work, we were fortunate enough, there was like a suite that we had all set up at the Key Arena when they played. And I remember
that's very cool.
From the station was just like, I got your tickets, but you have your choice. You can either sit in the suite with everybody, or we got these front row seats, but they're tucked to the side, so it's going to be obstructed. You might not even be able to see much of the band, just the way that the stage setup was. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with the front row seats. Just screw it. Even if I can't see, it'll be fun to be that close to see Tool. They must have not realized where the seats were, because when they gave me the tickets, and I'm like expecting that we're going to be like tucked in like the first seat of the row, and like there'll be just like a giant, like, you know, PA system in front of us. We were dead center front row.
Really?
Nice.
Dead center.
Dude, I wouldn't have taken those seats based on your description. Good call.
And all of a sudden we sit there and I look back at the suite and I saw the guy that hooked me up with the tickets, and he was like, he almost gave me a look like, really, dude, you don't want to be in the suite with the rest of us? You're going to take the crappy, even though they're front row seats, like, you're taking the obstructed view seats. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. I look at him and I make eye contact and I just kind of give him the wave like, ha-ha. And he was not happy.
That's so awesome. He had no clue.
Right, because he probably would have taken them himself.
Oh, dude, that's fantastic.
So amazing to be able to sit that close. And I was just, I felt like somebody that got upgraded. Like, I was geeked out for that entire concert, because I'm like, I kept looking at my wife and I'm like, can you believe we're sitting this close? It's amazing.
That is really, that's awesome.
Oh, it was the best.
See, you have that kind of luck, you know, because I would have said no based on the description.
Yep.
And then I would have been so pissed, because if you would have been the guy next to me going, sure. And then you would have been waving, and would have been me next to that guy who's pissed he didn't take the seats, and then me yelling at him, going, great, you know what, you're a moron, find out where the seats are.
We could have sat there. That could have been us.
It would have been like double horrible for him. He misses a great season and has to listen to me whine for the rest of the concert.
But the thing is, BJ, just the way you are and the way the universe works, somehow those seats would still actually be terrible if you chose them.
Well, I was gonna say, weren't you the one that did the Red Sox behind like a pole or something?
Oh god, I'm an idiot.
Okay, cool. Making sure.
Because we were at the ballpark, and it was a sunny day, and anybody that's been at Safeco, you know, sitting in a sun field in an 80-degree super hot day is not so I was like, I don't want to sit in a sun field, so I was trying to upgrade the tickets, because we were out in the bleachers at Fenway Park, and I thought these were better seats. I didn't know there were seats they gave people that weren't seats, like standing room only seats. I'd never heard of that concept.
They're like, these are the sucker seats.
Yeah, and I'm like,
suckers.
I'm like, oh, it's on the first base side. This is great. This will be perfect. And, you know, and it didn't. And they weren't obstructed view. Yeah, they weren't, because they weren't seats. I never thought they were. They're like, how do you not sell me a ticket that actually has a seat? No seats. Oh, my family hated me, and I don't blame them.
I remember one time at WWE, because I always, like, whenever I get an extra ticket, if I don't, I'm not able to give it to any of my friends, I'll bring it to the show and then just, like, find somebody and just hook them up with, like, a better pair of seats. Like, hey, where are you sitting? Like, I always run into a fellow wrestling fan. Like, oh, we're in the 200. I'm like, oh, here's third row back. And they're like, oh, my gosh. I remember I did that one time, because I had two sets. I had front row seats, and then I had second row seats. I didn't bother looking at the seating map. So I'm like, oh, I'll give the second row seats away, because who's going to take, you know, I'm going to stick with the front row seats. The front row seats at the Key at the time were set up so that, like, it was technically the front row, but the front row kept going. So, like, you were sitting sideways and you had to turn your head, and you were kind of sort of like 12 rows back from the ring.
What?
It's hard to describe unless you're there. Like, you have the ring set up, and then you have a front row, but the front row keeps going past the actual ring.
That's a beating.
If you're staring straight ahead, you're awkwardly staring at somebody sitting in the next row. Next section. And so I'm like, all right, well, we're technically in the front row. What am I going to do? Like, it's still fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, beggars can't be choosers. Like, I was still happy. But then I look at the person I hooked up. They're second row behind the announcers. And, like, it's, like, the most amazing seats. Like, they're on TV the whole time. Every time I look over there, they're like, this is awesome. And I'm like, I was like, it's bad if I go over there and be like, yeah, I changed my mind. I wouldn't do that. But
that's a beating.
It was funny, because I'm like, oh, here I am thinking I'm getting the better end of the deal.
Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah, that's, I mean, well, I
my neck aches, because I'm staring, I'm watching the match like sideways the entire time.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, I see. See, you and I, you know, we.
Yeah, but someone said Justin Timberlake hooked us, my buddy and his wife, up because they were dancing during intermission. Give him an upgrade.
Look at JT.
He knows what's up.
Yeah, that's right. Tennessee kids, right? Mm-hmm. He knows what's up. You picked the right guy. You're on the right horse. All right,
sounds naughty.
Yeah, it does sound very naughty. We got a true Seahawk great who happens to call himself a friend of the show. That is pretty awesome. He's also an NFL Hall of Famer. Again, calls himself a friend of the show. Does he need better friends? Yes. But anyway, we'll take him. Our bud Walter joins. Walter joins. How about Walter Jones joins us at 8:17 on The Rock?
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle.
It's always great having our next guest on, BJ, and it's shocking that we can consider him a friend because he is a true Seahawk great, an NFL Hall of Famer, a member of the Ring of Honor himself, Walter Jones. Big Walt.
Walt, welcome. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, thanks for having me on again, man. Good to hear your voices.
It's good to hear you too, buddy. I hate that we're in a world where we can't see you right now, man. It'd be nice to have you in studio. It's always great seeing you.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I know it's been tough for everybody, man, but I think we all adapting and trying to figure out how to get through this.
Hey, this is a stupid question because, well, you're a bigger guy, and like for me, I have a hard time finding a mask that fits around my face. Have you had a hard time finding a mask that fits you?
I had a hard time for a second, but you know what? I got a buddy out of Germany that does me some custom masks because he did me once before. And I was like, I think we need this a little bigger. So now I have some bigger face masks that I have that I give to guys, some of my buddies that have, just like me, that have beards. So it gives you that comfortable feeling. You know, even though you can wear the smaller mask, but for some reason, it feels weird when it's on your face. When you're in the store, you're like, something off here. Like, this just don't feel right. So I think everybody that you watch is have their own style now that they're trying to figure out what they like in a mask. So right now I got my own personal mask that I got made that definitely fits what I want to do with the mask.
Please tell me you have your number 71 somewhere on it.
I definitely don't have the. I have the my brand on it, so you know.
All right. That's what I was going to say. So, yeah, best ever.
I'm trying to figure out, do I want to sell some or not? You know, I've been getting asked about it. You know, like you said, a lot of guys been asking me, "Hey, man, how you got a mask that fits your face?" So you know, us big boys, we have a hard time finding stuff like that, like hats and masks. So, yeah. But you know, like I said, I found a company. If I get a chance to see you, man, I give you a couple of them, man, so you can test them out and let me know should I sell them to the public.
And don't forget the little guys like me, because I'll wear it too. If you got the minis for us little dudes,
you should get one with like your Hall of Fame ring printed on it.
Oh, look at this!
Look at you. You keep going. You know what I'm saying? Like this supposed to been my weekend. I supposed to been. This would have been the college kickoff weekend. Florida State and West Virginia was opening up the weekend. This weekend, Atlanta, I had masks made, West Virginia mask. I had Florida State mask because my buddies are West Virginia fans. So I was already set ready for this weekend. But, you know, with everything that's going on, everything's been canceled. So now I got all these West Virginia and Florida State masks now. So I'm like, what the heck to do with all these masks?
Well, yeah, we got lots to talk to you about, obviously, but really I want to make sure we hit the really great thing that you do, Walter, and that is 96 Check. And again, of course, we're talking to Big Walt, Walter Jones, of course, formerly of your Seattle Seahawks, Ring of Honor, Hall of Famer. You can tweet him at BigWalt71. Walt, tell us about 96 Check and why you started this really awesome situation.
the way I started, you know what I'm saying? We lost Tez here too soon, and he was one of my best friends.
And you're talking Cortez Kennedy, obviously.
Cortez Kennedy, exactly. And you know, he used to call me, you know, a guy on the team that called you no matter what time it was. Cortez Kennedy would call you at 2 in the morning. You know, he used to live in Florida. I was here in Seattle, so it'll be a late call. And I'd be like, man, he just wanted to check up on you. Hey, well, how you doing, man? I just wanted to check on this. The off season, I just wanted to check on you, see if everything's going good or you need anything. You know, with him being a veteran, you know, just checking on the young guy. So once he passed, and the way to remember him was to do a 96 check. And with September the 6th coming up, I wanted to recognize him on that day. So I kind of remind guys to call guys that you play with, guys that, you know, now that you're done playing ball, you don't talk to those guys all the time. So check on those guys. And sometimes just a phone call can help you, because I've done this a couple of years now, and I have guys come back to me afterwards and say, man, well, I really needed that call. You know, and I try to push it towards family members too, you know, friends and everybody, not just athletes, just everybody, because we get caught up in everything that's going on right now, especially right now.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff going on, and everybody dealing with their own issues. So if you can give a call to somebody that you know that you haven't talked to in a long time, just to check in. So that's the whole purpose with 96 Check, just to have people to check in on people. And sometimes just a phone call, just to call someone and ask them how they're doing, if everything's okay, it's just enough. You know, they might not go into detail what's going on, just the fact that you're showing that, hey, I'm here and I'm caring about you.
And the idea is, of course, you know, one of, like Walt said, one of his dearest friends, of course, was Cortez Kennedy. His birthday was September 6th, so 9-6-96 check. That's why it's on that day, you know, celebrating, of course, the birth of your dear friend who's no longer with us.
Exactly, man. It's tough every year, you know. It's one of those situations. And it's a thing that continually happens throughout the year. I have guys 9-6 check me all the time during the season. So it's not like it's just right now. It's all the time where you can just check in on people. And I tell everybody from every spectrum to check on people, you know, people that you have worked with, people that, you know, in the beginning that you have worked with, that you have made a connection with, you know, check in on those people to see how they're doing. So it's just something that this is a movement that I continue to keep working with, and just letting people know to check on those people that probably need a phone call every now and then.
So we're talking to Walter Jones. 96 check is what he's talking about. And if you can check in on anybody, really, especially where, you know, like Walt said, man, this is a time where isolationists will even isolate more, and reaching out. You know, you don't got to do anything but just reach out and say hi. You don't got to fix anything, cure anything, but just give them that contact. And Walt, we appreciate the fact that you're somebody that's got a big name, especially around here, and you're promoting such a great cause and something you came up with just out of your own heart. It's awesome.
Thanks a lot, man. I totally appreciate it, man. And like I say, it's something that you can do throughout the day. 9-6 is Sunday, so it's going to be a great weekend. So everybody's going to be out. Everybody's going to be having fun with the weekend or whatever you're doing. But sometimes someone's going to cross your mind, and if that person crossed your mind, give them a call and just say, hey, what's up? I'm just checking in on you. So it's like I said earlier, it's nothing that you have to cure. It's just checking in on people, and sometimes you can put them in a better space.
So 9-6 is Sunday, but then 7 days from that is 9-13, and that's the Hawks and the Falcons. And Walter, I don't know what to even think about the upcoming football season.
It's going to be tough. I think the hard part is not being able to see any football. Like, you know practice is going on, but you're not seeing a lot of practice on TV. You know, you're seeing practice, but you basically all you're seeing is warm-ups. You're not really getting to seeing the guys, the big boys, seeing what they're doing, seeing, you know, with the offensive line. You know, you thought like we had the offensive line figured out, but now it's a whole new group of guys, so now that's going to be the topic of discussion. But still, again, you don't get those preseason games. It's not about seeing the veteran guys. It's about seeing the young guys and seeing what those guys are about. And I hate it for those guys. You know, I know veteran guys don't care about training. Those football games, but I think for those younger guys, they give them an opportunity to learn from their mistakes. Now these guys are going to be live from the get-go. I don't know if I could have been able to do that as a rookie, where you're thrown into a game that's going to count from day one. You know, you go through those four preseason games, and you get better at the preseason game for those younger guys. So I hate the fact that those guys not get a chance to do that.
And I saw that it's popping up on the wire that Josh Gordon is applying for reinstatement, and the Seahawks are expected to re-sign him, according to some sources on the internet, like Ian Rappaport and people like that. What do you think about something like that? You think that Josh Gordon has another, what is it, like a seventh chance? And is there a hope for a guy like that, man? Because he'd be great to have on the Seahawks.
I think so. You hate for the things that he's going through, the things that he's fighting, but hopefully after this, if he get reinstated and come back, I think he enjoyed the fact that he was here in Seattle. I think he loved the Pacific Northwest. So, but if he get an opportunity, I think the things that he was doing, just the catches, even the catches, I don't think they asked him to be a number one receiver just to make those tough catches. You know, you can remember the catch he made last year on the tips of his fingers.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the kind of plays that can get you to the big game. So you need that type of player in here that can make those plays that you trust. If you put the ball up, he'll go up and get it.
I'm excited they brought Paul Richardson back, too.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice to have that guy back in it. And then you talk about loving being in Seattle. I mean, look at this guy, Jamal Adams, right now. It seems like he's just enamored with the Seahawks system and also the city as well. It's been kind of fun watching him on Twitter. Just geeked out to be a member of the Seahawks organization.
Oh, definitely. And I think everybody understands what's going on now. Everybody know that this is Russell's prime years right now. So if you're going to jump on his back, I think it's time now. You know, I think, if you watch Twitter and watch everything, you know, the catchphrase now is to let Russell cook. And I think, it's time to kind of see, you know, what can Russell do? Can Russell lead this team? And I'm talking about literally lead this team. You know, he has done a great job from now, but I'm talking about just literally, hey, this is my team. This is my city. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, and those are the teams that's going to come out on top. Those veteran teams that got veteran leaders. Cause everything is different this year. Everything is new. Everybody is learning to go. So those teams that got veteran players, guys that know how to do it, they don't need a lot of coaching. So I look forward to seeing what these Seahawks are going to do this year.
And it's now official. They've re-signed Josh Gordon.
Okay.
You're on it, man.
Wow. Look at this. Real time.
Yeah. Thank you, Ian Rappaport.
Real time. The first time I've been on an update.
Like, yeah. Look at us. We're not breaking news. We're reading a breaking news story.
That's right.
Like as if we broke it.
And it is tough, though, because obviously, I mean, because no college football in our area. And, I mean, you know, no fans in the stadiums for the NFL, at least at the beginning anyway. And it is, so desperately do we need this sport, but at the same time, man, it's how is it so far for you, Walt? Because of course, obviously, you're heavily involved in the Seahawks and broadcasting and all that. How is this for you this season? This just weird way we're going about this season that we've never done anything like this before.
It's kind of tough. I think the cool thing about you just don't have a schedule. You never know. Everything that you had, you know, comes basically what you do. You have a calendar of everything that you're doing, getting ready for the season, but all that stuff gets thrown out the window now. Now you kind of just waiting on an email or something to say, this is what's going on. I still will be doing the fifth quarter again this year, so we're definitely going to do nice. That again this year. So looking forward to that. I think, like I said before, the hard part is like everything is going to be on the go. Like I said, you're not getting a chance to see any kind of preseason games to kind of know who you're looking at, what you're looking at. You're just basing it on what the Seahawks release or what they give us. So I think it's going to be fun to kind of see what everything look on next Sunday and to see how this team's going to come out. You know, you got to go in hard on them right now because now this is the product. It's not like, you know, you get the four games where by week four of the preseason, you kind of know, okay, this team is figuring things out. You kind of know what they're about. It's going to take us a while to kind of figure out what this team about because they don't got those preseason games. But I think it should be fun. I think it's new that all of us have adapted to this, what we're doing now. So I think it's just part of what's happening now. I think as a former player and as a fan and now part of the media group, I think we adjust to it and continue to keep doing our job as best we can.
So, Walt, you know, I just celebrated a big birthday, my 60th birthday, but I've been watching sports, of course, for a long time. And you brought up something by saying, you know, they have no preseason games, so there's just not a lot you can see. And it made me think about how much this game of football has changed. And a lot of sports have changed due to
technology. I know that there's a baseball player by the name of JD Martinez who claims he is struggling mightily because he's not able to use video because of cheating scandals the way he was able to use video in order to make like in-game adjustments by being able to see exactly what just happened in his previous at bat. And then I was thinking about you guys in football, and you know, probably I wonder if some of the older players that you know even predated you who would grumble that, you know, before video technology, you really couldn't watch exactly what another team is doing, and that had to change the game dramatically to be able to watch video week after week of an opponent you're about to play.
I know that it's got to be tough, especially for, you know, you don't, you can go, like, you're getting ready for Atlanta, so you can go back and watch them from last year, but you just don't get a chance because every year things changes. Coaches changes, defenses changes, so you don't get a chance to see those guys in preseason. You know, a lot of times teams don't give what they're going to do during preseason, but still, again, you kind of can get a feel of what they're trying to do. So now that first game going to be tough for a lot of guys because they just don't know. They just going to go on a whim. You probably have to, if Atlanta got a new defensive line coach or a new something, now you got to try to find out where this coach was at before he came to this team to try to break down film to say, this is what this guy likes to do. So I think that's going to be hard. And like I said earlier, you got to put all your money on your veteran guys to understand how to play the game and bring those young guys along. And that's what you're hoping for. I think right now we have a great nucleus of veteran guys that's going to figure it out, that knows how to play the game. I think last year with Russell, we saw when he was in Cleveland where the microphone went off in his helmet, so he went down the field and scored. So those are the type of guys that you need that's going to lead guys where you don't get that sit down in a meeting room and show these guys, hey, this is what you did wrong. You don't do that a lot now. So it's a whole different ball game for a lot of teams. But I think the teams that have the veteran guys are going to pull those guys along, those young guys along, and show them how to play this game of football.
Big Walt Jones, ladies and gentlemen. That's Walter, of course. You can tweet him at Big Walt 71, at Big Walt 71. And don't forget 96 Check, which Walter wants to remind you to check on anybody who's special in your life. Make sure you reach out and connect to him in celebration, of course, of his great friend who's no longer with us, Cortez Kennedy. Walt, we love having you on. And anytime you can come on because you're a great dude who you've done so much and literally have given up the body to bring so much joy to Seattle. And we greatly appreciate you, bro.
Oh, thank that, Matt. Thanks a lot, guys, for having me on here to kind of get the word out. And once again, don't forget for everybody to 96 Check someone today, going out to the host to Sunday throughout the weekend. And whenever that somebody that you know cross your mind to check on them and see how they're doing.
Nice. Take care, Walt. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, yesterday, Steve, you know what? He did get this one right.
What is the wire that gives off light in a light bulb called?
Light.
No.
Bulb.
No.
Filament.
Yes.
What? I do like that the question was, what is this thing in a light bulb? And your first two answers were light and bulb.
It's right. A light.
Yeah.
That's what makes his right answer so shocking.
I know, really. Then he goes, oh, how about filament then? It's like, okay, fine. Whatever.
When you think you know me. You don't know me.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't even know what the hell just happened there. You want a shot at beating Steve? All right, you can take it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 8:51 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.